You are listening to Junctions and Sidetracks, the story behind the creation of Empire Builder, a musical about a time-traveling train, conversations about family, history, race, and forgiveness. Music by George Maurer, libretto by Ann Bertram. Episode 2, Train Time.
In the last episode of Junctions and Sidetracks, the story of the making of the musical Empire Builder, writer Ann Bertram and I talked about how we met at Nautilus Music Theater's Composer Librettist Workshop and created a music theater scene that took place on a train. After that experience, we decided we want to collaborate on something bigger. 8 years and several workshops later, we've created Empire Builder, the story of a time-traveling train. We're now going to share that opening number with you. Here's Ann to talk about it.
When Chicago's Union Station opened in 1925, the Chicago Tribune called it, quote, a massive pile of gray stone and steel, end quote. From the outside, that's about right. A big gray block with a rank of severely plain columns across the front. When you go in, you head down a long stone staircase with brass rails, the one where they did that scene from The Untouchables.
See, I'm walking out with the bookkeeper, and the bookkeeper and me are driving away.
Now you're in the Great Hall. 219 feet long with a vaulted skylight ceiling, 115 feet overhead, marble floors, fluted columns, light coming in through filigree stonework. Way up near the ceiling, there are two allegorical statues of veiled women. One holding a rooster represents day. The other, holding an owl, represents night. Passing through that vast waiting room is a theatrical way to start on a journey. You wouldn't necessarily be surprised if the travelers around you broke out into a dance number. But one of my most vivid memories of Chicago Union Station actually has nothing to do with that monumental architecture. More the opposite, in fact. It was the middle of the night. I remember the walls were shrouded in white tarps or blanked out behind sheets of plywood. Under construction, pardon our dust. In the waiting area, there weren't enough seats, so some passengers were sitting on their suitcases. It felt otherworldly. Removed. An anonymous space. No sense of time, no clocks, no windows. Just a group of people from different places. I guess that's a theatrical way to start a journey, too. Who are these folks? Where are they headed? What will happen to them on the way?
When you geek out on research, which I think it's safe to say that we both do, you end up gathering all kinds of really delightful factoids that don't necessarily fit into the story you're trying to tell. For instance, railroads are the reason that we have standardized time zones. Before the railroads connected the country, each town calibrated the time by the position of the sun. In a town 50 miles away, the time might be, say, 6 minutes different. But in order to keep trains from being on the same track at the same time, the engineers had to be able to agree on precisely what time it is.
This is librettist Ann Bertram.
This is composer George Maurer.
And you're listening to Junctions and Sidetracks. Conversations about Empire Builder, a new musical about a time-traveling train.
So in our story in Empire Builder, we're starting off in Union Station.
In Union Station, Chicago.
Where I've been a ton of times before.
Yeah, me too. I used to connect a commuter train from where I was living in the suburbs to Northwestern University, for what that's worth.
And when I was 10 years old, my mom took me on the train for my 10th birthday and take a train trip to Chicago to visit grandmother who lived in the South Side, where my mom had grown up. And so at 10 years old, I remember taking the Empire Builder from the Milwaukee Road or in Minneapolis when it was still based there in the 70s.
Wow.
But I remember boarding the train there. It was pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
So we're in Union Station?
Union Station, Chicago, and we're seeing the people who are there to catch their various trains and hearing how they feel about the trips that they're about to take.
And the opening lines come from a father who's got a
teenage daughter
with him. And his very first words out of his mouth are describing the station itself, actually. But he's impressed with the steel and the stone and
the solidity and the durability of the way building used to be, like, overbuilt, right?
Yeah.
That the space that you are in is a legacy.
Yeah. In this opening scene, actor Bradley Greenwald plays the father, and actress Carrie Radow plays his bratty daughter.
When you walk through that door, you walk into the past. When they knew how to build, when they built things to last. See, they framed it in steel, ooh, and they faced it in stone. Ah, it will stand for all time. Ah, honey, hang up your phone.
And so he's trying to get her to see this, and of course she's busy texting a friend.
About how boring all this is.
Yeah, but gushing about how she just heard from this boy that she has a crush on. So we get that perspective too, like, why should I be interested in that?
Yes, yes, this has nothing to do with me.
I'm stuck with my dad. Yeah, we're taking a train, cause it's full of old stuff that he loves to explain. Wait, I just got a text. Oh my God, it's from V. I said, it's from beer. Too much echo in here.
And then the chorus, the company leaps into play and says, you're going to love the train. So we're setting up some excitement with this first scene. It's kind of a cool, it was my intent to kind of create an exciting, welcoming piece of music that gave the excitement of what it was like to board a train, and these are from, you know, my memories, and your words are from your memories, but just the excitement of being, you know, that 10-year-old kid again, getting on board and picking a window seat and watching all the people on the platform outside the window, and then the train leaving the station and watching the city go by. And commuter on the train pops in and with the narrative and
who is talk. Right out of my experiences commuting from the western suburbs to Northwestern.
Okay.
As you know, a different relationship of the train with time. The train buys you that little bubble of time where you can just whatever you need to do, nothing's gonna intrude on you.
Yeah, you and know? He's frustrated at first. His coffee mug leaks and he lost his cell phone signal. But
getting on the train is going to erase all that.
He's going to just sit back and watch the city slip by.
Yeah.
I loved writing that verse of the song there. The musicians, the instrumentalists that I used on this, I wanted to create, like, when the chorus, you're going to love the train, gets really big and builds, I wanted this big swoop of power guitars to come in. And I listened to the left hand of the piano, and I realizing I'm projecting a little bit of Journey's, what song is it? If this ever makes it really famous and big, if Journey wants to sue me for pulling a George Harrison on their pieces, we can talk about it then. But I realize that I recognize that sort of motif, that the guitar double that builds a sense of forward motion and anticipation that just kind of came to me, and I kind of went, let's just do that, let's follow that. The part of our commuter is sung by actor Max Wotanowicz.
So my signal just dropped, and my train pass expired, and my coffee mug leaks, and I'm tired, man, I'm tired, but I still love the train. It's a comforting ride. I just watch while the city slips past me outside.
You're gonna love the train.
I sit back, I'm on track. I can breathe and release. Take time. Be at peace.
But then things slow down and shift, and we basically musically introduce our first character stepping on the train, and it's Jimmy.
Jimmy, yep.
And he starts singing right away about his love of history and trains, and you can tell that he's yearning for a day of yore that doesn't exist anymore.
His little anthem to all the names of the different railroads that come through, yeah. He would know what lines used to be on the rails that he's about to travel. It was really interesting to me. We had a read-through of it at Walker Church, mm-hmm. and that read-through made it interestingly clear to me that by starting out with Jimmy as the first of our characters to be heard from, mm-hmm. it makes things feel like they're weighted a little bit in his favor to start with, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. which doesn't turn out to be the case, right? He's not our main focus, and his attitude is an attitude that we're going to complicate by the time that we're done.
Yeah.
But by starting out with him, you don't know right away that Maybe this show is going to endorse mm-hmm. what he's saying. It hadn't occurred to me before mm-hmm. that performance.
Yeah,
how strong his vision is to start out with in the mm-hmm. the piece as a whole.
Chicago, Burlington, and Quincy, St. Paul, and Pacific, Great Northern, oh Great Northern. Take me to your grander, simpler time, when we knew bad from good, when we knew where we stood. We had pride in our nation, always had time for friendly conversation. Empire builder, give me one last stride to that slower, gentler, grander, simpler time.
The role of Jimmy was sung by Twin Cities actor Joel Leistman. Now we shift mm-hmm. into introducing Dr. Holder.
My thought with her verse is that she's invoking the beings, the ancestors, the spirits that she is hoping will guide her in the choice that she has to make. Mm-hmm. She's looking for assistance, and she's looking to the past mm-hmm. for this help. And cognizant of how hard her father, her grandmother, her grandfather worked, mm-hmm. and anxious not to disappoint them, mm-hmm. which is a feeling I share, you know, wanting to make their investment worthwhile. Mm-hmm. So she's putting a call out to say, please assist me, you know, please help me make this decision I need to make.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting to look back at this piece 4 years down the road and realize what it is intuitively that I did musically with the piece. Mm. But now it's like I'm sitting here analyzing myself and going, oh, this is, you know, it's like
there was a reason for that.
There was a reason for that, but apparently I felt comfortable enough to write it in that way and bring that forward. So I'll take myself off the hook for now.
Take me home. Please take me home. I'm tired of engaging with ignorance, constantly defending my work and my existence. Please take me home. Oh. Grandma, who washed the tablecloths? Grandpa, who set the brakes? Daddy, who ran the engine? Won't you tell me? Won't you tell me? What was it you dreamed of?
The role of Dr. Holder was sung by Thomasina Petrus.
And then comes Sky.
Then comes Sky.
And we really shift here.
Yep. And he's trying to nerve himself, trying to strengthen himself for this meeting after so many years, trying to talk himself into doing what he feels to be the right thing to do, mm-hmm. that nonetheless is hard and painful. Mm-hmm. And how's that going to go is like the big question.
Mm-hmm. When he needed me, where was he? Never mind.
Right. He dismisses.
Swatting away, going to, doesn't matter. It hasn't mattered to me for 30 some odd years of my life. He's in his 40s.
Yeah, he's in his 40s.
He was given up for adoption. He was age 9, so he's been struggling with this for 30 years or more.
Yeah.
And he's going back to his mechanism of just coming, never mind, I don't want
to. I don't need to look back,
but
which is...
here I am. He can't help himself because now he's on the train. He's gotten
he's
this
committed.
Far.
Yeah.
He's at the station. We're kind of musically reacting to the give and take, the real internal struggle with Sky. We see some more, a lot more raw of feelings and emotion.
Grandfather's dying.
Dieter Bierbrauer sings the role of Sky.
Grandfather wants me. Now that he's dying. Grandfather wants me. I will be there. Take me there. Never mind. When I needed him, where was he? Never mind. I will be kind. I will be strong. I will be big. I will be there.
I'll be there.
I will be kind. I will be strong. I will be there.
We do a lot of sort of asserting and then complicating the assertion, you know? Mm-hmm. After Sky's sort of outcry of, you know, this is really hard, but I'm going to do it. You know, mm-hmm. I will be there. Mm-hmm. The chorus surges in, right? You're going to love the train. You've got to love the train.
Yeah.
You get a little bit hyper almost, right? Yeah. It's like they insist too much.
Yeah.
You know, who knows what new friends you'll be sitting beside. That looks ironic for a while. Sky, in the midst of this very difficult situation, is being assured that he's got to love the train, and it's not at all clear that he's gonna.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah. I wonder if there should be any kind of descant line from Sky over that last chorus that fits in between some of those spaces there, where he has a line that's basically saying, it's a wonderful ride, 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3. He's got 7 beats.
Mm.
To say something, if
say something.
You wanted to put an asterisk there, maybe a seat. We're showing the creative
process.
Yep,
there it is, right there.
Here it is, you know.
There is so much to see.
Oh my God, I'm so bored.
And such stories to share.
Do trains have TV?
All the places will pass.
Yeah, all the places will pass.
All the history there.
There's time just to talk and look.
And I love that word understand, and that's taking time to understand, empathy, to empathize. That's what we're setting up with this first piece. That's what we're hoping the audience latches on to is, okay, now we've placed these three broken characters in front of you, and now we want you to sit back, take time, and look over, out over this stage, you know, and understand. And not all of us have the luxury of paying for a ticket on a time-traveling train, you know, to get us to that place.
So we present this as an opportunity.
We present this as an opportunity to do that.
You've been listening to episode 2 of Junctions and Sidetracks, the story of the making of Empire Builder, a musical about a time-traveling train.
When you walk through that door, you walk into the past. When they knew how to build, when they built things to last. See, they framed it in steel, ooh, and they faced it in stone. Ah, it will stand for all time. Honey, hang up your phone.
No, I'm stuck with my dad. Yeah, we're taking a train, 'cause it's full of old stuff that he loves to explain. Wait, I just got a text. Oh my God, it's from Beer. No, I said it's from Beer. Too much echo in here.
My signal just dropped. Ugh. And my train pass expired. And my coffee mug leaks. And I'm tired. Man, I'm tired. But I still love the train. It's a comforting ride. I just watch while the city slips past me outside. I sit back, I'm on track, I can breathe and release. Take time, be at peace.
Chicago, Burlington and Quincy, St. Paul and Pacific, Great Northern, oh Great Northern, take me to your grander, simpler time, when we knew bad from good, when we knew where we stood.
We had pride in our nation,
always had time for friendly conversation.
Oh, Empire Builder, give me one last ride
to that slower, gentler, grander, simpler time.
Take me home, please take me home. I'm tired of engaging with ignorance, constantly defending my work and my existence. Please take me home. Oh, Grandma, who
Grandfather's dying. Grandfather wants me. Now that he's dying, Grandfather wants me. I will be there. Take me there.
Junctions and Sidetracks, The Making of Empire Builder, is an original radio series conceptualized by George Maurer and Ann Bertram. Sound designed and edited by George Maurer. All music, unless otherwise noted, composed and performed by George Maurer and friends. Studio mix is by Justice Sanchez. The executive producer is Michelle Jansen. Junctions and Sidetracks is made possible by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Culture Heritage Fund.